Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Oi with a Terror. I'm one of your hosts, Danielle.
And I'm your other host, Sandra.
It's Hanukkah now, so happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
It probably won't be by the time this gets out, but probably it's. Not. I always like when I listen back to some episodes we have, I forget to do like future announcements. Like when we've had other episodes before holidays, I totally forget to like acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. The 2 weeks early or whatever it is.
Yeah, so this will probably be out, my guess is around Christmas? After Christmas? I don't know.
Yeah. It'll be mysterious. So I guess
happy holidays, happy True. Kwanzaa, Ramadan, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I think, and Hanukkah, and I think that's it. Yeah.
Yes. Any other things to talk about before the topic? I don't think I have anything.
No. No, I guess just a happy belated Thanksgiving, and I don't know. It's been crazy a few weeks, and I can't believe the New Year's almost here.
I know.
I'm not ready.
Next year has to be better than this year.
Yes. Yes, it does.
It can't be bad 2 years in a row. It's a rule.
Mm-mm. I feel like the even years are better.
Okay. I'll just believe you. She's gonna be even. I don't know if I've heard that before.
I don't know. I feel like for me, like the even years are kind of better than the odd years, but I could be wrong. Maybe that's just me.
So you never like learned that anywhere. It's just a, like gut feeling.
Yeah. Okay.
I almost thought you were going to be like, I heard from something that's okay.
Hmm. No, I just feel like the even years have just been kinder than the odd years.
Maybe you're like a soothsayer.
Again, I could be wrong. Maybe. I don't know. I just have to have hope that like the next year is going to be like a little bit better. Maybe.
Classic Pisces being hopeful, I think.
Yep. Yep, and it's a curse.
It's a good trait to have.
It's a good trait to have sometimes. Sometimes it's not.
I'm known for being capricious. Oh yeah, it's almost my birthday. So maybe happy birthday to myself. In the future. So that's
future,
exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Time is Are you weird. Doing anything?
So we're having a my birthday / New Year's party, and you're invited. It'll probably be after my actual birthday, so like, wait, when is it?
Your birthday's on like a Wednesday.
But when did, oh no, it's just going to be like New Year's, so on that day, so but then like,
on New Year's
it'll be
Eve.
A nod to my birthday, because it's like a few days after, so.
So it'll be on New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't had, like, a New Year's get-together party before, so mm-hmm. even though everything feels kind of shitty now, I'm like, it could still be fun, question mark, to have a New Year's party, maybe. I feel like not everyone gets into New Year's, but, like, I was raised with having a big New Year's party, so I think mm-hmm. it's fun to do that. And, like, it'll be, like, chill vibes, but we'll have champagne, and we'll either get, like, some kind of, like, catering, or, like, I'm not planning on cooking a lot of stuff. We'll get, like, takeout or something like that. So, yeah. But, yeah, if you're free or whatever, or feel like it.
I thought I was free, and then I stupidly said, oh, I'm going to be in Boston on New Year's, and everybody is like, come to my party, and I'm like, oh,
so it is
dear
a popular
God.
Thing to do that. Interesting. Yeah.
Two of my friends are already like, come over, and I'm like, okay. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think that's like, because I'm never in Boston on New Year's. I'm always in Connecticut or with my mom. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, oh, this is what, like, actual adult people do. They do have parties with their friends.
Okay, so you're probably busy then.
I think so. I have to double check the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might, like, end at your place and then, like, start. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I want to go. So I'm, like, trying to figure out, like, how I can get, like, all of them in there.
You're so popular, I guess.
I feel like Lorelai and Rory when they're trying to fit like four Thanksgivings right. into their Thanksgiving day.
Yeah, and it's hard because like they're in Boston and we're like out of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
We will see, but I will keep you updated. But thank you very much for the invite. And I'm ordering your birthday gift this weekend. So it will get there before your birthday.
That's nice.
I think you'll like it, but you'll also be confused. So I think you'll like it.
Well, I think I'm getting a candle because that's what I texted. It's not a candle.
Yeah. Oh. I mean it's a lot.
Oh.
And then the one thing that might throw there's one thing in there that might throw you off. So well.
Interesting. I don't know if I've had a warning for a present before. Is it alive?
Yeah. No, it's not alive.
Okay.
I just think that you're gonna appreciate it, but you might be slightly confused.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
So I'm ordering it this weekend, so it'll get there next week.
Okay.
And that's why I also asked you for Dave's email, because I knew his email was ridiculously long, but I was like, I don't remember it off the top of my head. And then I'm basically done with Christmas, so yay.
I, like, haven't gotten gifts for anyone. Like, I'm like, no, it doesn't make sense for me to do that right now. Like,
Nope. Yeah, no.
So I'm not even pretending. Like, I'm like, don't expect anything from me. Like,
nope. You just have to have a fabulous birthday, and that is it.
It was very hard to think of, like, what... I don't know if it's just me, but, like, I can never decide what I want to do on my birthday. And it might just be also because of the weird timing with the holidays, but I always, like, struggle with, like, if people can even, like, meet, or if they're still doing family stuff, or, like... So that there's sometimes a barrier with that. And then it's like if some places may or may not be open to like go somewhere at that time also. And it's like it just feels like there's so many factors involved with like trying to plan something.
Birthdays are tough. I feel like especially too when you get older. Because when you're younger, they're more like exciting. Yeah. And you get to do like a birthday party.
Yeah. And everyone's like busy.
And if you're all like spread out.
Yeah.
It's just like it's tough.
I don't know. I want to do something chill, but also, like, chill slash fun I'm fine with. I don't want to, like, go out anywhere fancy, so.
Yeah. I've always wanted to try. I don't know if they still do it, but I saw it on a show, and it's called Archery Tag. So it's, like, tag, but, like, with archery, and you try to, like, hit your friends. Like, so you guys are, like, on opposite teams, and you try to, like, hit the other team. And it just looks like really fun.
Where did you see that?
I think I saw it on like an episode of like Kate Plus Eight or something. And it was like very popular. And I was like, that just looks like fun. It's like the Hunger Games, but no violence. And nobody dies. You just hit your friends.
I would be impressed if people could hit each other with arrows. Because I feel like it's hard to get targets with that. Like, and I feel like someone doesn't just pick up like... a bow and arrow and like know how to shoot automatically.
No, I tried archery in grad school because we had an archery club and I was really bad at it, but I tried it and I appreciated it because it's harder than it looks.
You could make a story out of that.
It was fun.
Okay, should I start? Okay, so my topic is also related to a celebrity, like my last topic was, so kind of continuing the trend of celebrity true crime, but like the person, it was like affiliated with the person who was affected. So today I'll be talking about the disappearance of Patrick McDermott.
I know the name sounds familiar, but I don't remember the case.
I didn't actually know about this one previously. I just found it recently to do. So I'm sure you know who Olivia Newton-John is. Known for Grease and I think aerobics tapes from the 80s. She was Australian and an actress slash singer, I'd say.
She was. Yeah, I just know her from Grease because everybody used to call me Sandy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like so big. Like, yeah, everyone in our school would always like talk about it. So Patrick McDermott was her on and off again boyfriend, and he was a cameraman and a lighting designer. And on June 28th, 2005, Patrick boarded a charter fishing boat for a solo overnight trip. This wasn't anything out of the ordinary, as he often took trips like this. The 48-year-old, because he'd taken other trips similar to this, he felt comfortable traveling alone. But on July 1st, when no one had heard or seen from him, he disappeared, and there were 22 other passengers on the ship. So no one knew what happened to him. And so Patrick McDermott was born in South Korea in 1956 under the name Kim Chong-nam. He was adopted by an American family at the age of two. In 1994, he married and divorced actress Yvette Nipar. They have a son together named Chance. But he fell into financial troubles, and in 2000, he declared bankruptcy, owning more than 30,000 to creditors. He also stopped paying child support after his divorce and was court-ordered to pay the outstanding payments. Patrick was also skilled at hiding these private issues, and to the public, he was flourishing. He started dating Olivia Newton-John and declared his love to her on an Australian show called This Is Your Life in 2004. Where he called her a truly amazing person. When he disappeared in 2005, the couple had been dating on and off again for 9 years, and it's thought that they broke up shortly before he went missing. So when he didn't return from his fishing excursion on July 1st, it wasn't noticed by people in his circles until July 6th, when he didn't show up to a family event, and it was then his ex-wife suspected something was wrong. So Yvette Nipar, Patrick's ex-wife, contacted Frank Liversedge, the manager of the marina in San Pedro, to get details on Patrick's whereabouts. It then came out that a fanny pack was found containing Patrick's belongings that had been left on the boat the same day as the excursion. The bag was unclaimed for over a week. Inside the fanny pack was McDermott's car keys, driver's license, and wallet. His car was found parked in the marina parking lot. The manager returned to his office to call the police and Coast Guard. About 11 days after Patrick went missing from the fishing boat, he was reported missing. Now, this leads into some contradictory leads from witnesses. The Coast Guard thought that Patrick had fallen overboard during the 22-hour trip and drowned. Liversedge also noted a strange detail regarding Patrick. His bill was paid in full less than 1 hour before the boat docked. Quote, from that point back to this dock, it's almost a million to one odds that a guy could fall overboard, jump overboard, be pushed overboard without half of the boat seeing it because it was a smaller boat. Liversedge said to NBC News, everyone's up on deck right outside the back doors to the galley and the boat's going forward. If anyone fell overboard, they would become visible, end quote. Some passengers reported seeing Patrick leaving the boat and also having talked to him throughout the trip. This led some to speculation that he disappeared by his own volition. And it does seem difficult to believe that a man on a small fishing boat would not have drawn any attention from any of the other passengers or crew members, as the boat was carrying 22 passengers. Private investigator John G.J. Nazarian said, quote, if you were on this boat and somebody dropped a tuna fish sandwich, you'd hear it. Never mind someone falling overboard. I think he just walked off the boat and nobody noticed him, end quote. Various theories as to what could have happened to Patrick McDermott continue to grow. The most popular theory is that Patrick disappeared and is now living a new life in Mexico in order to avoid paying his debts. And by staging his own death, his son would have been able to use his $100,000 life insurance policy. People have actually come forward claiming to have spotted Patrick in Mexico and Central America, but none of these claims were proven to be factual. Another private investigator, Philip Klein, searched for Patrick in Mexico and does believe he is alive. Investigators set up a website, findpatrickmcdermott.com, where updates have been posted, but the website is no longer active. But while it was active, IP addresses were tracked from people who went to the website, and they found a cluster of activity which originated in Western Mexico. And one of the theories is that that was definitely Patrick, because there were already theories he was in Mexico. Now the official findings from the Coast Guard is that Patrick is lost at sea, and there was no evidence of criminal action. After he disappeared, Olivia Newton-John and McDermott's ex-wife, Yvette Nipar, bonded over their collective grief. Olivia often wondered about the fate of her former boyfriend up until her own death in 2022. Quote, "It's human to wonder, but you know, those are the things in life you have to accept and let go," she said in 2016. "There's always those concerns, but I live on," end quote. So that's the disappearance of Patrick McDermott.
Wow, that kind of reminds me of a Hallmark movie I just watched over the weekend.
It's like you have heard of people doing something like that, staging their own disappearance mm-hmm. or death so people can collect on that money. But like it does sound outrageous, but it has happened.
Yeah, I mean, he could be lost at sea, but he also could have a new identity and be living in Mexico. And
yeah, which also sounds outrageous, like from a movie but could actually...
People do it. Yeah. People have done weirder things than that. So, yeah, I think I remember hearing about that, but obviously they don't know and they don't have any updates, so. But maybe now that Olivia has passed away, maybe now she knows.
Just the idea of mysterious disappearances is, like, an interesting, like, genre of crime.
But it's also, like, amazing how there are people that do that. I mean, people disappear every day. So there are people that are able to do that successfully.
Mm-hmm.
But just what it you like just having the reasons to be like, I can't be me, I need to.
But even like not like a like self like actualized disappearance, like a like mysterious disappearance from someone else, like that someone else, like I guess it'd be more of a kidnapping, but like unsolved mysteries. Mm-hmm. There were a few episodes from the new seasons that were basically disappearances.
Well, yeah, didn't you? Like, wasn't there a story you did at some point about a guy who took somebody else's identity and had a whole second family and life in, like, Florida or something? But he was from, like, out west.
That could also be Mad Men. that's also the storyline for Mad Men.
But I feel like you did a story of a...
Like Dirty John?
Maybe.
Like that guy,
maybe.
John.
Where he, like,
He did something like that.
Like, he took somebody else's, like, that died, like, somebody else's identity.
Yeah, so that's also, like, fraud and conning people.
I mean, if you have the resources, and apparently if, like, you feel like that's the only option, but also, like... That sucks that his family will never know. Like, his kid will, like, never know. So.
I actually read, like, a weird romance-y type story not that long ago. I can't remember the name of it or the author. And it did involve a guy, like, forging his disappearance because he was, like, had shady business dealings. So he was, like, engaged to this woman, and he lived on a houseboat in California somewhere, and he had like a teenage daughter, and one day he just disappeared, and so his fiance basically just like hung out with his daughter, and they're like, what the hell? And he would like send them letters and messages somehow. So like, it reminded me of this, if that is a similar situation.
Yeah, without like the letters and stuff, but
right. And then it's, like, fast forward 15 years, and then, like, she sees him at, like, a restaurant or something like that, and she's like, how do I act? And then she's like, I'm not gonna talk to him, and she leaves. I think that's, like, how the book ends.
But, wow. Yeah.
It was okay
as a book overall. I don't think I need to read it again, but it's kind of entertaining.
Clearly, you don't remember the name or the author, so it probably didn't stick. Like, it stuck out, but like,
I definitely got it from the library. I don't think I bought it. I could probably like find it if I really wanted to. Maybe I'll do that as you're talking.
Okay, so I guess I'll start my topic now. Well, you do your research. I'll start my topic. Decided for this week to do, it's called the Mystery Hill, but it's also known as America's Stonehenge. So the Mystery Hill is an archaeological site that is better known today as America's Stonehenge, and it is situated to the exposed bedrock summit of Mystery Hill in North Salem, New Hampshire. The site consists of a core complex of about 13 stone chambers. There are several enclosures, stone walls, stone-lined drains, basins, and other features, and this all covers about 1 acre on the summit. It does extend outward to the surrounding core complex, where there are more walls, niches, standing stones, and two procession ways. And then along the perimeter of the summit, there are 4 confirmed astronomical alignments. And then below the summit on the slopes of the hill, there are, I guess there's the 14th chamber and then more natural caves and springs. In total, the site covers about 105 acres. Although this is called America's Stonehenge, it is not actually unique. Throughout the northeastern United States and the southeastern Canada, there are thousands of different archaeological sites that do involve or do have stones, enclosures, standing stones, and kind of other types of structures. There are over 500 of these sites that contain stone chambers. Astronomical alignments have been confirmed at some of these other sites as well, but America's Stonehenge does stand out amongst all of the others because it is arguably the most complex, sophisticated, and visually impressive of all of the known stone structure sites in the Northeast United States. There isn't really a clear idea as to when this formed, due to it having an impressive number of carbon-14 dates that have been obtained from the charcoal samples that were found during different excavations of the site. Those dates range from about 7,000 years ago to as recent as about 200 years ago. And there is evidence of continued human presence that is related to the stone structures at the site for a 2,500-year time period. There is detailed archaeological and architectural analysis of the structures that does suggest that the site went through 5 different cultural phases of its own, and each has a distinct architecture rather than being built as a single large-scale construction project. The site has evolved through the multiple building episodes and expanded, modified, and upgraded it. There is debate about who built it or if it was even built. There are a number of theories that have advanced in the past 70 years or so since the first systematic investigation of the site, which took place in the 1930s or the late 1930s by William Goodwin. He was the first investigator of the site, and he theorized that it may have been built by Irish Coldy monks around 1000 AD. Hugh O'Neill Henkin, who was a curator with Harvard's Peabody Museum, quickly countered Goodwin's argument by stating that the site may have actually been built by Jonathan Pate, who lived on the property from 1825 until his death, which occurred in 1849. Or there is a book called America BC, which was released back in 1976, that argued that the site was built between 800 and 600 BC by Golgic Celtics. But in recent years, the theory of the site was built by Native American people has actually gained a lot of credibility in this ongoing debate on who actually built the site. And the Native American theory was actually formally published in Mary Gage's book, America Stonehenge Deciphered, which was released back in 2006. There is no clear purpose as to why the site's construction is there. There are different theories of, again, who built it. But interestingly enough, with the exception of the arguments that the site was built by Jonathan Pate, all of the explanations for the purpose of the site have revolved around the concept of the place of possibly a religious or a ceremonial center. And that brings me to, there is one stone, specific stone there called the Sacrificial Stone. This does contain grooves of the site that some say may have channeled blood, but it closely resembles a lye leaching stone, which can be found on many old farms that were used to extract lye from the wood ashes. And the first step of this was to actually manufacture soap. So the sacrificial stone could have been more of a cider press bedstone or a common tool that was used in New England at the time, and the grooves in the table serving to collect the cider. This site has been featured on a few different programs, one of them being the American History Channel and the series Secrets of the Ancient World. This aired back on January 14th, 2002, in which Boston University archaeology professor Curtis Runnels refuted the theory that it was built by the Celts in ancient history. It also was featured in Search Of, which is another TV series that focused on investigating mysterious phenomena. The show presented its theory that the site may have been ancient Minoan origin, and that episode aired back on April 24th, 1977. You can actually go and visit this site. It is open year-round to the public. There is a small fee for the recreational area. This includes a snowshoeing trail and an alpaca farm for the visitors to go to. If you are interested in finding more information, you can visit their website, which is www.stonehengeusa.com.
What's it called again?
It's called America Stonehenge, but also called the Mystery Hill.
The Mystery Hill, Dave.
In Salem, New Hampshire.
In Salem, New Hampshire.
Where's that? Oh, Salem, New Hampshire.
Not Massachusetts. New Hampshire.
Maybe they had witches there, too.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
We have to do another Salem trip at some point.
When it's warmer out. It's too cold.
I need more ingredients for my potions.
Are you doing potions now?
No. But remember that one store we went to that was cool? I got really good tea from there. It looked like a classic apothecary type. It was like in that old building. That was a cool store.
That was cool. They have really cool stuff in Salem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool vibe. I just don't know if I'd go in the fall. It's probably like crazy.
Well, I know.
And they had that arcade we almost went to, but it was too busy or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I know that they had issues like Halloween weekend because they shut down like the commuter rail for a bit. And then I think they like did something to the ferry. So it was like, okay, so people don't know how to get, like can't get there except for car or bus maybe. But like
horses, maybe
buggy, carriage, you know, go super old school.
Yeah.
On the, you know, whatever. Yeah. So on the Mass Pike or whatever. But yeah. So, but I thought it was interesting that it's referred to as America Stonehenge, even though it also said that, like, there's a million of these other places around, but this is why this one is different.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
I didn't either. I just looked at it and I was like, oh, this is cool.
I'm looking up a photo.
I mean, it looks really pretty. And I like that they have an alpaca farm.
Yeah, alpacas are cool. I would go to an alpaca farm.
And that they're snowshoeing. Like, I don't know why, but I just kind of like how it offers, like, stuff besides just going to or hiking through, like, the hill.
I don't see alpacas.
Maybe the alpacas are a little bit further, like, still, like, on the property, but, like, not near the rocks. I don't know. You just don't hear people advertising an alpaca farm very often, especially with, like, the stuff that I look up.
I was looking into doing yoga with goats not that long ago, and I almost did it, but I didn't.
That would be so much fun.
That could be a good birthday activity. Circling back.
You should do it.
I don't know if there's any.
You should do it. You should do a yoga with goats class.
Maybe. I was looking when I was in Connecticut, so I haven't actually checked near here, but maybe. That could be a thing, actually. I'll let you know.
You should do it.
That means you don't want to.
You should do it.
Would you want to as well?
No, I mean, like, you should do it and tell me how it is. I would. I think we, I mean, I just, I'm not, like, I've only done yoga a few times. And every single time I've almost, like, fallen asleep at the end because they do, like, the cool down and there's, like, usually, like, a fountain.
How would you feel about a goat climbing on your back?
I'd be awake. It would keep me awake.
I just don't want them to poop everywhere. I mean,
they can't help it.
I know.
That's why I kind of want to do puppy yoga.
Yeah, that would be cute.
They're cute. I don't know. This is why I'm, like...
I do, like, I have a special place in my heart for goats, though, because of the whole Capricorn thing.
So do you.
So I just have a connection with them.
Like, a connection like you like them, or, like, eventually you want to get a goat?
Yeah, I think goats are cool.
I can hear Dave in the background, like, no.
Dave doesn't like goats because they have rectangle eyes, do. So he doesn't trust they them.
They
do.
They have weird eyes.
It's not natural.
Like, and they're not always the nicest. They're just not. They can be mean.
Yeah, I like the, like, old ones that have big beards. They look really wise. The, like, grandpa goat.
Like the billy goat?
I don't know. The ones with the beards. I think
those are billy goats.
Those ones seem cool. Daw. And they're good at climbing, so that's useful.
Yeah, but they also need to be around other goats because they just have, like, a hierarchy system. So if you get one, you gotta get multiple because they need to be with the
other one. Were goats bad or good on Animal Farm, in the Animal Farm, the book? I feel like goats were a big character in it.
Right? The pig was bad.
But I feel like goats had something, like, they either weren't fully good or they were, like, sneaky or something. I guess there was a goat named Muriel.
Yeah, I just saw that, but it didn't say if she was bad or good.
She's the one who alerts the other animals of the farmers approaching during a meeting.
So I just typed in, like... goats and Animal Farm, bad or good, and it literally showed 5 reasons not to get goats.
Aww. That's anti-goat propaganda.
I don't know. We'll figure that out, because I honestly have no idea.
Yeah, we'll cover this in our next episode where we just thoroughly dissect Animal Farm for some reason.
Maybe I'll just get you a copy of Animal Farm for your birthday.
I'll be like, this has a deep meaning to it.
No, you can read it and then tell us if the goat was bad or good.
I mean, it is a classic novel, I guess.
It is, and we did read it in 9th grade.
To read it in school, yes.
Gotta love required reading for school.
Yeah, there's a whole breakdown of Muriel the goat on lickcharts.com. She's one of the few animals who's fully literate. She's seen as a representation of educated individuals who can interpret what's going on but don't have the charisma or power to speak their minds. So it's not just black or white, I guess?
No. Well, nothing in Animal Farm, I feel like, was black or white. It's way more complicated.
I feel like I remember that book being one of the kind of less boring ones that we had to analyze. There was, like, a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah. All right, everyone, thank you for joining us for another episode of Oi with the Terror. You can find us on Instagram at Oi with the Terror Podcast. You could also find us on Facebook at Oi with the Terror Already. If you have any stories that you want to send us or ideas that you want us to talk about, you can email us at oiwiththeterroralready@gmail.com. And we will see you all next week.
Bye.